Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all sound like you're all people.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks, Jim.
I was trying to remember, what was it that y'all said?
No.
No, not at all.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We welcome you to worship. So excited to be together. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. Very simple way that we do that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Please take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, send it down. So everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it reaches the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, once it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much for that. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time today, right after the first hymn. So come on down here to see me for just a few moments. Today, we are collecting for all of our exam packs. We'll be making tonight for our college students. So we invite those who are able to provide either homemade or store-bought individually wrapped snacks. We're going to make 50 of these packs to take to our college students. I'll be starting that first thing in the morning. The youth will make them tonight. And so if you could have them here, many of you have already provided those, and we're very thankful. We're going to start putting those together at 6 o'clock tonight. So if you could provide those by 6 tonight down in the youth kitchen, that would be helpful. I'm glad to answer any questions that you might have for that. Let's see. Any other announcements? We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. Thank you so much for coming. We'd like to give something to you now that you've given something to us on that pew pad. So if you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. And the ushers are going to recognize you. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church, a newsletter that tells you what's going on, the life of our church, and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. The 1st of May. April showers bring... No idea what Columbus has to do with April. Mayflower. Mayflat. Oh, some of y'all were paying attention. Sometimes April showers. Mayflower. We don't always like the rain, but we sure do like what happens after the rain and the beauty of God's creation. But we have to have the rain, don't we? To get to the beauty. Sometimes there's even beauty in the rainstorm if we seek to find it. Are you in a rainstorm today? Or are you enjoying the beauty of God's creation? Remember that His Holy Spirit has not left you. Whether in the storm or the sunshine. That's why we worship. Let's pray together. Thank you, our Father, for this time of worship. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we invite the kids to come on down. I think we're all here. We're about to do something that you, after my mistake a moment ago, you may not want to do anymore. I was so excited to pray that I prayed early. Sorry about that. But you're going to follow the leader, all right? You're going to follow the leader. But I'm not going to tell you where we're going. I just need you to follow. You think you can do that? But you have to walk like I walk. You have to do the things that I do. That's the rules. Can you play the game with me?
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous. All right. Can y'all stand up? Y'all stand up? We're gonna do follow the leader. All right. So Rebecca, you're gonna be right here. Jared, go to the back there, buddy. All right. We're just gonna take a walk. When you walk and you see all these people, what do you think? That's what I think. Let's see. Look at all these nice people. Do you see? They're dressed up. They're glad to see you. They're smiling back at you. Is that nice for them to smile back at you? All right, let's keep going. The people in the back, they never really get to see you, right? So we're going to let them see you. Are y'all nervous? Now this crew right here, this crew makes me nervous. Makes me nervous. Can y'all say hi? Okay, we're just following. Yeah, that's your mom. That's right. Oh, we have some nice looking ushers back here. Say hi. Can you high five the ushers? Mr. Skip, all right. Mr. Mike is right here. We have a scary teenager, Bryson. He's right there. Fist bump, Mr. Jeremy. Yeah. Oh, look at all these guys back here. Look at these ushers. Oh, fist bump. Keep coming. Keep coming. You still hating Mr. Wilson? Hating Mr. Jim? Look at all there. See everybody? Can you give high fives? They've never been this quiet before. We might do this again. Yeah. I was going to do some other things, but y'all did so good. Okay, I already messed up once with y'all today. I'm not going to do it again. Y'all keep coming. Come with me. Come with me. All right. I'm going to go. We're going to come say hey to the choir. Can you say hi? They look at y'all all the time. All right. All right. Come give a high five to Miss Mary. All right. Good job. Come sit down. Come sit down. Crisscross applesauce. Easy there. Easy there, Trigger. All right. Did you have any idea where we were going? No. We could have gone out that door and gone to the gym, right? Oh, now you tell me. But I want to tell you something very important. Very important. Pastor Raymond is going to talk this morning about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God who comes down and leads us. Sometimes we don't have a clue where he's taking us. The Holy Spirit is God's presence reminding us where to go. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit takes us by people that we know love us and care about us and want to give us high five and smile at us. But sometimes we go to places that can be a little scary. But I want you to remember, when we ask Jesus into our heart and he changes us, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and takes us on a journey that sometimes we don't have a clue where we're going. But can we always trust that God knows what he's doing? If he made you, if he made us all, even though we go in a place we may not know where we're going, we can trust him. Can you trust the Holy Spirit? when Jesus comes into your life? Yes. Can you say, I can trust the Holy Spirit? One, two, three. I can trust the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you do guide us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is always ready to take us where you want us to go. But we have to trust you to follow. Give us the courage in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to your seats.
It's good our children are taught about God's Word and the promises of His Word. And our passages today come from our Revised Common Lectionary readings and wonderful support for what we'll be talking about in a few minutes. I invite you to join with me. The page numbers that are listed there are the numbers. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible close by there. And those pages are the notation of where we'll be reading today. First passage is a gospel reading. It comes from John. Gospel of John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. It says, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." And our reading from the Psalms today is from Psalm 67. It says, "For the director of music," Mary, you get props there. It says, for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song." That's the caption that the NIV puts in. I think sometimes we forget that our psalms were actually sung. They were sung, and often there's instructions that are inserted there in regard or reminder of how they were delivered and how they were used in worship. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us." Does that sound familiar? "That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him." Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the reminder of who you are. Not just what you do, but who you are. Who you are at your very nature. Father, you are a God who loves us unconditionally, who has provided a path for reconciliation to relationship with you. A God who gives us the strength for each day through the power of your Spirit to help us in our journey, to guide us, to encourage us, to correct us. Father, we pray that as we journey together that we would not lose sight of who you are, and that we would also not lose sight of what you do and what you would desire for us to do and what you would desire for us to be, who you would desire us to be, knowing that everything else comes out of who we are. So, Father, we pray this morning that you would make us more like you, that you would shape us, that you would correct us, that you would encourage us through your Spirit as well as through fellow believers as we journey on this path together. Father, we pray as we journey that we would recognize those opportunities that you place in our path to say a kind word in your name. Father, to offer assistance, whatever that assistance may be needed to help someone who's struggling. Father, to pray for our brothers and sisters who have physical ailments. Father, that their bodies are just breaking down on them or the natural result of aging here in this world, in this mortality. Father, that we would be there for one another. God, we pray also for those who are not believers yet. Father, we trust that you will use us in some way to minister to them so that they will desire a relationship with you. Father, it's in that hope, it's in that promise, and it's through that power that we navigate the waters, the storms, the sunshine, all that comes with life here. And we ask that as we journey together, Father, that you would bless our journey, that you enable us to see you in the small things as well as the large things. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the walls around us and the roof, especially the roof. We thank you for joining us together in a community that seeks to worship you. We ask that with your leadership that you would make us famous for our faithfulness with all the gifts you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, as I looked at the sermon title, again, Spirit-Led Journey, I thought about my family's journey over the last 2 months, and I thought, what a strange 2 months it's been. And then I read those words as the choir was singing, and within these walls, let there be refuge, a place of rest when doubts and trials form, and let us lift each other as we gather to find your peace, no matter how terrible the storm. And it kind of hit home a little bit. And I'm reminded, and I want to say thank you to each of you. In many a sundry ways, you have provided support and love and encouragement in our storm. And you will never know. It's difficult to explain. If you're a giver, you know what I'm talking about. By nature, you would rather give. For givers, it's hard to receive, because we just want to give. We feel a lot more comfortable giving than receiving. Receiving feels awkward to me and to Sandra. And yet, we have good friends, many here among us today, who have walked with us and kind of smacked my hand occasionally and hugged me occasionally and taught us how to be better receivers. So through all of this, we've grown. A Spirit-Led Journey that has taught us a great deal. And I don't know where you are in your life, where you are in process with walking with God, but I pray that this morning you would hear about Paul's journey and that would touch you. In preparation for today, I went back and I picked up that study course book I mentioned last week and read parts of that again. I read some remarks from Gene Warner again and from the book Reading Acts and the New Interpreter Study Bible, because this passage of Scripture is really kind of a fascinating, there is a lot here that can be kind of unfolded as we work and read through it. So before we get into that, let me go ahead and read it, and then we can launch from there. It comes from Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 9. Now, this is the lectionary reading, and I know it kind of begins in the middle of a story, but we'll back up and pick it up. Stay with me here. Verse 9, it says, "During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. And from there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city, important there, the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us. We joined Paul and Silas and Timothy in our lesson today, kind of in midstream. We're stepping into a story about a mission that had already been underway for quite some time. So let me back up and give you just a little bit of background for it. Paul had initially started out with the intent of revisiting all of the churches that he'd helped establish in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. Good, good. Y'all were 9 o'clock service, weren't you? Okay. Modern-day Turkey. And on the way, he became acquainted with a faithful young man that we know as Timothy. Now, you know the story of Timothy, I'm sure, in part. I mean, we've got a couple letters that Paul was obviously very fond of him and wrote a couple letters, at least two that we know of that we have in our scripture. But we also know that Paul was very fond of him because he referred to him as his son in the ministry. He became very fond of Timothy, and he brought Timothy along as he once again sat out on a mission to go back and visit those churches that he had helped establish and to reassure them and to strengthen the churches that he had planted on his first missionary journey. It's kind of like a victory lap, okay? I mean, I don't mean to be crass, but it was kind of like, well, let's go up there where we started these good works and check in on them and see how they're doing. Let's maybe go offer a word of encouragement, see if they need a little more teaching and kind of what their needs are. So let's go check in with them. According to the book of Acts, a little bit earlier in this chapter, Paul had wanted to go to Phrygia and Galatia, also in Asia Minor there, but the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to go preach there. So Paul said, well, okay, let's go to Bithynia and Mysia. Maybe we can go there. But once the Holy Spirit said, no, not there either. So instead, they turned and once more journeyed to Troas, which was on the shore of the Aegean Sea. And that's a long way, as Scripture tells us, from Lystra and Derbe. And we know that it was about 450 miles. And you say, well, that's not a terribly long way. Well, it is if you're walking. I mean, that's a long way. And you see, then, while they were there, the Holy Spirit clearly said no. I mean, there was some things that the Spirit was telling them no. He told Paul about the plan that Paul had established. He said no. But what we don't hear is the Holy Spirit giving clear new directions. All we know is that Paul was quite certain that the Holy Spirit forbade him to preach or to teach in the first two options. His plans. He made plans to do this, Holy Spirit said no. He made plans to do the other, Holy Spirit said no. So there's obviously a different path. That's the correct one. So he heads off in a different path. The modern equivalent of this would be kind of like, you know, the old saying, if God closes one door, yeah, there'll be another one that'll open up. So that's kind of the modern way of thinking about it, you know. And that was, the doors were closed. He was certain of that. He said, let's try something different. You know, as I studied this, I saw a reference again to the Robert Frost poem, the one that reads, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled, and it has made all the difference. Sometimes God doesn't call us to the path that's always traveled, the normal course of action. Sometimes, many times, he calls us to the one less traveled. You see, Paul didn't get to follow the path that he had taken before, the one that would have enabled him to retrace his steps and kind of bask a little bit in the joy of the success of these churches. That wasn't in the plan. And as we'll see later in the story, it made a huge difference. His obedience made a huge difference in the advancement of the kingdom. And so our passage today picks up, and once Paul and his fellow missionaries arrive in Troas, he receives this vision, giving him clear indication that he was to go to Macedonia. Now Luke, who's the author of Acts, he doesn't say that the vision was from the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say that, but Paul concludes that it is. He concludes that it's powerful direction, and it's trustworthy enough so that he immediately booked passage for his entire group over to Macedonia. So now his journey is being directed to somewhere rather than merely being detoured from somewhere. So in other words, now he has direction rather than obstruction. He knows where he is to go. And so they set sail directly to Samothrace, an island on the way to Neapolis. And once in Neapolis, they go to a land straight to Philippi. They go by land to Philippi. Now, Philippi, we know from Scripture, and I made note of it as we were reading, was a leading city of the time. It was a cultural center. It was the place to be. And so you look at all the background. Well, the Holy Spirit said no here. The Holy Spirit said no here. He gets a vision. He goes, yes, here. And so now we expect big, good stuff. Good things start happening. Great things start happening. That's how Hollywood would do it, right? Yeah, it's big. It's magnificent. It's big splash from here on. Well, no, that's not what happens.
Paul and his colleagues, they do go to where God seems to want them to be, yet what we hear is basically they just kind of hang out. Scripture says they stayed there, quote, some days. That's it. But it was right there where the story starts getting interesting. Remember, Paul was commissioned by Christ to take the good news to who? Gentiles. And we determine the Gentiles are who? Anybody but the Jews, right? Anybody but the Jews. You see, but in spite of this, and then like, you know, last week we talked about the fact that Peter's mission had changed somewhat as well. Do you remember that? To include the Gentiles as well. So we're beginning to get a theme here, okay? I say, but in spite of the fact that Paul was clearly commissioned by Christ to go to the Gentiles, and maybe it's because, not in spite of, but because of his commissioning, in a very clever way, whenever he went to a new place, he always sought out the community of Jews. Now, why is that? Think about it for just a minute. If you are going into a land where you don't know the people, and you're going into a culture as a Jew, and you immediately start ministering to people other than the Jews, what are the Jews going to do? I mean, human nature being what it is. And so Paul was very bright, as we covered several weeks ago, highly educated, must have been incredibly intelligent to complete all the work that he did. A Pharisee of Pharisees, well taught. And see, he used those credentials, in my opinion, he used those credentials to help him open the ground when he went into a new area. He goes and he meets with the Jews. Said, hey, I'm here. I understand where y'all are coming from. Here's kind of my mission. We appreciate your understanding of that. I don't know if that's what he said, but it's kind of the concept. He visited with the Jews when he went into a new area. You see, God doesn't waste anything. On our journey that is Spirit-led, God does not waste anything. Past life experiences, not in our past life, but in the experiences of our life in the past, he uses all of that. He doesn't waste anything. What we think is tragedy, somehow, if we're obedient, he can use that. Even our disobedience at one time, like the Apostle Paul, Christ can turn that around and use it for his glory if we are being Spirit-led and not led by our own ambition or ego or arrogance. See, Paul, he goes into this place, and while he's at Philippi, on the Sabbath, Paul and his group go outside the city to a place by the river where it says they expected people to be gathering to pray. Now, this tells me at least four things as I kind of look through this. First, because it was the Sabbath, Paul must have been expecting those people to be Jews, because who else would be there praying? Right? Okay. Second, there probably were not enough Jewish men in Philippi to form a synagogue. Okay. It required 10 adult men. Required 10 adult men. And if they had had that number, they probably would have had some sort of structure to gather for prayer. So they probably didn't have that many. So instead, they went to the riverside. The third thing I gleaned from this is that Paul and his group, were seeking community. Not just physical community, but emotional and spiritual community, I believe. They were going there seeking prayer. They deeply desired community. And I think that's something we need to hear over and over again. Fourth, I think they were seeking out an opportunity for prayer. Not just the people, but the prayer. The object of their prayer being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So they gathered there. And it says when they came there, they saw this gathering of women. This is significant, people, because Paul did not discount them. And you say, well, why would he? Because that was the norm of the day.
women were just women. And you didn't really offer up a whole lot of credibility to women. I mean, that was the time of the day. And people say, well, what did Jesus have to say about that? Go back and read the Gospels. If you ever want to see somebody that elevated the role and the respect for women, there's never been anybody of human history that elevated the role and respect for women like Jesus Christ. And Paul follows right in his steps. He did not discount them. Instead, he preaches and teaches with them. And God opens the heart of a prominent woman in the group named Lydia. Lydia. We know that she sold purple cloth, right? Purple being symbolic of royalty. But we also know, as it says in verse 14, that she was a worshiper of God. That is Bible-ese, okay? That is Bible-ese for a Jew by practice, but not by birth. You see the picture? She was not of the Jewish race, but she was actively practicing Judaism, okay? So that's Lydia. And Lydia is so moved by what Paul shares that she's baptized along with her household and insists that the missionaries come stay with her. So let's review what we've covered. Paul wound up in Philippi because he responded to direction from the Holy Spirit and a vision from God, not because of his own well-thought-out mission plan or his desire just to revisit his, quote, successes. All right? He ends up there because the Spirit led him there. And after getting there, he waited for further direction, and when none other seemed to come, he actively sought out a community of faith and prayer. And as a result of seeking God's direction, Lydia became the first convert in Europe and the start of the Christian church in Philippi, a church that Paul had this wonderful relationship with, and a church that becomes faithful, famous for faithful, right, Terry? Terry said it in his prayer. That we would be desire to be famous for our faithfulness. That is what the church at Philippi was famous for its faithfulness, for its warmth, their caring of Paul and for one another. And all of this, as I read through this, I thought, this gives me a bunch of questions. It does. And I write these down, and I don't share most of them, because most of them are personal moments. But as I read all of this and studied this, I thought, how often do we come together at church and we ask questions like, well, what is it you want to do? What is it you think we're supposed to do? As councils or committees or whatever, what do you think we need to do? Or what missions are we interested in pursuing? And those kind of questions that really kind of betray the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because we phrase them like, well, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And we don't stop to ask the question, well, I wonder what God thinks. how often do we approach our missions decisions with prayer instead of demographics or budgets? I mean, it's tough questions. How often do we as a church, as well as in our own personal lives, try to just take victory laps of our past successes rather than honestly and earnestly seek God's direction? Seeking God's direction sometimes involves change. We talked about that last week, the C word, yeah. Change, and we don't like change sometimes. Or sometimes we want to embrace change, but we want to embrace change because we look down the street and we see another church and they're doing something and we go, that'd be cool if we did that. So why don't we do that, preacher? I'm like, why would we? I mean, do we have a good reason for that? Do we feel like that's what God's leading us to do? Or is it just because it works for them, so it must work for us? Tough questions. I understand. But so many times when our well-laid plans don't seem to produce results, how quick are we to get frustrated and we cry out to God, God, why didn't you bless our ministry? Why didn't you bless our ministry? I think we just answered our own question. You see, that they're really... there's a lot in this story of Lydia. There's a lot here. But the power and the significance of the story, I think for us, is in the reliance on God's direction by Paul and his colleagues through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, rather than stay on what would have been a much more comfortable route for them. They would have been a whole lot more comfortable revisiting what they knew. They probably would have got some pats on the backs and some hugs and some great affirmation by returning to those churches. But yet that wasn't in God's plan, at least not yet. So we ask again, what does that have to do with us? And you say, well, preacher, I'm not going on a mission trip anytime soon. Sure you are. The minute you walk out the doors, you're going on a mission trip. Go back to the words that the choir sang. Within these walls, let us understand that beyond these walls, there are hurting people who've never felt your healing hand. Do you believe that? Do you believe there are people out there who have never felt the healing hand of God? Do you believe that? Beyond these walls, send us forward. Beyond these walls, let your will be done. We are your people. You will leave us never, and we shall work together until your kingdom comes. Your kingdom come. Maybe our prayer needs to be a whole lot less about us and a whole lot more about God. I believe that really is the purpose of prayer. I don't think we have to convince God to give us what's best for us. That's what He desires. I think the prayer is to amen. Yeah. I think the prayer is to help us align our wills with the Father's and to recognize who He is and that He does desire the best for us, not in our plans, but in His plans. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, please forgive our complacency. Please forgive our arrogance, our selfishness. And it may not be conscious on our part, Father, but sometimes it's just the easiest pattern to fall back into. But we call it what it is today, and we recognize it for what it is. It's what we want, and it's our comfort level. Father, call us out of that and away from that, and help us to seek your will and your leadership in our lives so that others beyond these walls can see Christ in us and will desire a relationship with you. Father, when we walk through these doors, help us to be excited about the privilege of being on mission for you. Father, teach us to rely on your Spirit, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. Help us to claim that and to lead victorious lives rather than defeated lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as you're here and as you've heard God's word proclaimed, I hope that your heart has been touched in a way perhaps to affirm the trials that you're going through in life and recognizing that as being a part of God's teaching and God's direction. Perhaps it's a point of correction where you say, maybe I have become too complacent, maybe I have become too comfortable, and maybe I do need to seek God's will more actively in my life. If that's the case, this is your morning. You know, as we stand and sing in just a moment, we're going to sing, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." All right. Great choice, Mary. "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go." You know, sing that. That can be your prayer. That can be your conviction. That can be your offering to God, your commitment to Him. If you're here and you're not a believer yet, come talk with me. I'll be here at the front. I'll share with you how you can have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, sing the song. Mean it. Walk it. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this congregation, a wonderful group of believers, man, a wonderful group of believers. And we have plenty of room. Plenty of room. There's many ways we receive members. We'll be glad to talk with you about it. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to be serious and to make that before God as we stand and sing together. The Church of Philippi was famous for its faithfulness. I believe College Park is famous not only for faithfulness, but also encouragement and warmth. And so following our benediction and response, I invite you to encourage one another. Be warm to one another. As we go out into our mission field, let each other know that we're journeying together, okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for the chance to know you and to love you, to receive your love and extend that to others. Help us to be faithful. Father, help us to be known as those who love you and who love people. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.